Imagine securing millions to create your dream video game. Your concept art looks amazing, the engine runs smoothly, and early playtesters love it. Then, reality hits. Your rendering tricks tank the frame rate, players get stuck on intuitive levels, your art director micromanages everyone, your demo is weeks behind schedule, and now investors want budget cuts. Welcome to game development. Jason Schreier's Blood, Sweat, and Pixels has become the modern Bible for understanding the chaotic reality behind video games. Since 2017, industry veterans have embraced it as required reading, offering unprecedented insight into why games are often delayed and the human cost of creating interactive entertainment. Why is game development universally grueling? One exhausted developer told Schreier his team discovered a major feature wasn't fun near completion, forcing months of 80 to 100-hour work weeks with some sleeping at the office. His conclusion? It's a miracle that any game is made. With decades of experience since the 1970s, shouldn't this process be more efficient by now? Three factors make games uniquely challenging. Interactivity requires rendering graphics in real time based on unpredictable player choices. Technology constantly evolves, forcing developers to reinvent tools with each project. And scheduling becomes impossible when dealing with the abstract concept of fun. As one producer asked, "Where is fun? How long does fun take?" The fundamental challenge in game development isn't creative, but financial. In early 2012, Obsidian Entertainment faced collapse when Microsoft canceled their Xbox One RPG, forcing layoffs of 26 staff and threatening the studio's survival. While Obsidian struggled, Double Fine had raised $3.3 million on Kickstarter. CEO Fergus Urquhart initially rejected crowdfunding, fearing public failure, and pursued unsuccessful publisher pitches throughout 2012. By summer, with key team members threatening to quit and launch their own Kickstarter, Urquhart finally relented. Their Project Entertainity campaign raised $700,000 on day one and ultimately nearly $4 million. With another game contract secured, Obsidian transformed from near collapse to stability in just 6 months. Unlike traditional publisher relationships requiring smoke and mirrors demos, Obsidian developed transparently with their 74,000 backers through bi-weekly updates. This transparency created both challenges and benefits. Developers needed thick skin for immediate criticism, but received valuable feedback that improved the game. Uncharted 4 mirrored its protagonist's struggle between domestic life and adventure, reflecting Naughty Dog's reputation for creating gorgeous games while embracing intense crunch periods with employees working until 2-3 a.m. After Amy Hennig left, Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley took over with a focus on addiction. Their partnership thrived through radical honesty and a numerical ranking system for disagreements, discussing issues deeply only when both felt strongly about opposing views. Naughty Dog operated without dedicated producers, with everyone self-managing. This fostered obsessive attention to detail, from Drake's shirt creases to button stitches, causing team members to frequently work through the night. For E3 2015, the team created an elaborate Madagascar chase sequence with meticulous details like deflating grain sacks. As the deadline approached, they cut several elements, including a spectacular Scotland crane sequence. When Sony offered an extra month for polish, the exhausted team accepted. Uncharted 4 shipped in May 2016, selling 2.7 million copies in its first week with stellar reviews. Afterward, many developers left Naughty Dog, while others took extended breaks before starting new projects. Eric Barone met his girlfriend Amber Hageman at a Seattle mall over their shared love of Harvest Moon games. Unable to find work after college, Barone decided to create his own version of the farming simulator that had declined in quality. Choosing to handle everything himself, code, art, music, and design, Barone started from scratch rather than using established game engines. His initial six-month timeline expanded dramatically as the project grew. He abandoned his job search, becoming obsessed with what would become Stardew Valley. While Barone worked 8-15 hours daily, Hageman supported them financially through two jobs while finishing her degree. Working alone meant no external accountability, allowing him to continuously add features without producers limiting his scope. His development process alternated between composing music, drawing characters, and refining gameplay mechanics. By mid-2012, after nearly a year of development, Barone began sharing Stardew Valley on Harvest Moon forums, where its SNES-inspired pixel art attracted fans. British developer Chucklefish offered to publish the game for just 10% of profits. Though greenlit on Steam in 2013, Barone completely overhauled the game multiple times before release. After 4 years of development, Stardew Valley finally launched in February 2016, selling 1.5 million copies within 6 months and grossing nearly $21 million. Despite earning $12 million, Barone maintained his modest lifestyle, still driving his broken Toyota Camry and living in the same house with roommates. On May 15, 2012, hundreds of thousands of players waiting a decade for Diablo III were met with Error 37 messages as Blizzard servers collapsed under demand. Players also discovered fundamental flaws: difficulty scaled too steeply, legendary items were too rare, and the real money auction house created a pay-to-win environment. Despite selling 10 million copies, the team acknowledged Diablo III was a diamond in the rough. When director Jay Wilson left, Josh Mascara, who had joined in 2011 to lead the console version, took over with a fresh perspective on Diablo's identity. Mascara realized players weren't remembering Diablo II's original release, but what it became after its expansion addressed feedback. His team designed Reaper of Souls to be similarly transformative, creating Loot 2.0 that provided fewer but better items, guaranteed legendary drops from major bosses, and weighted random generation toward class-relevant gear. The team recognized their overemphasis on randomness was hurting the experience. Lead designer Kevin Martins explained, "We shaved the rough edges off randomness. We made randomness work for the player instead of against them. They replaced the punishing difficulty structure with a scaling system where monsters adjusted to player power, with optional modifiers for greater challenges." Can great games be made without sacrifice or follow predictable schedules? Industry experts say no. Game development exists on what BioWare's Matt Golden calls the knife's edge of chaos, where countless moving parts make predictability impossible. This unpredictability helps make games special. The mobile game Game Dev Story depicts high-performing developers literally catching fire, a cartoonish gag that somehow captures the reality of game creation. When admiring Uncharted 4's stunning vistas or The Witcher 3's complex moral choices, you're witnessing developers metaphorically setting themselves aflame to create something magical. What makes this struggle worthwhile? Developers describe an unmatched feeling when players experience their creations. Eric Barone felt overwhelmed watching streamers discover Stardew Valley secrets, while Obsidian found redemption in player stories about Pillars of Eternity after nearly losing everything. Despite brutal hours and uncertain futures, most developers can't imagine doing anything else. In an industry of evolving technology, ballooning budgets, and unpredictable success, the miracle isn't just that games get made. It's that they continue to push boundaries, tell meaningful stories, and create experiences unique to this medium.